Thanks very much. So yes, models of integration to increase equity and access to contraception and abortion care. So if we're really serious about doing something to try and increase equity and access to contraception and abortion care, then we do need to consider whether we need to expand service delivery beyond the current models and expand the range of providers. So I think there's three models that are particularly worthy of our consideration. One is a model where we deliver more contraception from the maternity setting. Secondly, more contraception from a pharmacy setting. And thirdly, I'd like us to consider also more abortion from other settings, a community setting, for example. Contraception from the maternity setting, I've spoken at length already this morning, so I don't want to labour the point, no pun intended. But just to summarise, we do here, I think, need to do more to expand women's access to effective contraception immediately after childbirth, because fertility, sexual activity resume quickly. There's additional barriers of recovering from childbirth and a young baby, and additional barriers if you want to have one of the LARC methods that need to be fitted by a trained provider. An unintended pregnancy at this time is common. And as I've said this morning, there's evidence now that antenatal contraceptive counselling and provision of a method after delivery is acceptable and feasible, but it's challenging. But in the antenatal period, a woman has maybe up to 9 months to consider the options, and we know it's associated with a high demand for the most effective methods that can prevent most unintended pregnancies. Provision's challenging, but our experience seems to be that it is relatively straightforward for obstetricians to provide intrauterine contraception at cesarean section. It's feasible for midwives to be trained to provide implants and intrauterine methods after vaginal birth, and they feel that this is expanding the role in providing holistic care for women, and there's good evidence from tens of thousands of women having intrauterine contraception after vaginal birth that it's safe with a low risk of complications. So on to the second model that I think is worthy of consideration, and that is the provision of more contraception from the pharmacy. Now, for over a decade, you've been used to getting emergency contraception from the pharmacy without the need for a prescription. And whilst the emergency contraception, oral emergency contraception, does prevent unintended pregnancy for individual women, it's not been shown in studies to impact on abortion rates at population level. It may be because it's of limited efficacy. Oral emergency contraception only works by delaying ovulation if it's not already occurred. And we know that it's not used after every episode of unprotected sex. And we also know that if women have more unprotected sex in the same cycle, then it double or trebles the risk of an unintended pregnancy. And so that underscores the importance of starting an effective method straight away. But this is where the catch is, because in many of the countries where we work, pharmacists are unable to provide effective methods of ongoing contraception without a prescription. So that's led many of us to consider whether could the pharmacist provide a temporary method of effective contraception, a bridging method to tide a woman over with her emergency contraceptive pill until she can see her regular provider. And there's been much interest focused on the possibility of using the progesterone-only pill in this way, because, of course, it's a very safe method of contraception with very few contraindications. Some years ago, we conducted a pilot of bridging contraception from the pharmacist after emergency contraception. And it was a pilot study of 168 women, 12 pharmacies. It was a cluster randomised study, which meant that the pharmacies were randomised, not the women. So pharmacies were randomised to either standard care, so when they gave women their emergency contraceptive pill, levonorgestrel, they gave them the usual advice about where they could get ongoing contraception. Or the pharmacist could provide, in addition to the emergency contraceptive pill, a one-month supply of a progesterone-only pill. So giving them 1 month to go and see their contraceptive provider to get ongoing contraception sorted. Or the pharmacies provided them with a rapid access card, which meant that if they presented that at their local sexual and reproductive health centre, they'd be seen as a walk-in and be provided with ongoing contraception that day. We followed the women up 6 to 8 weeks later. It was a small study, but the effects were really quite large. And we saw in both intervention groups significantly higher self-reported rates of use of effective contraception compared to the standard care arm. So in the standard care, when women were just given advice about where to get ongoing contraception, 16% of women said that they were using an effective method, i.e. other than a condom, compared to over 50% in the other groups. As I said, it was a small study, so we concluded that robust clinical trials were required, but nevertheless, this was a promising strategy that could be associated with higher uptake of effective contraception and perhaps fewer unintended pregnancies for women. So we've since gone on to conduct a robust clinical trial in this area, and it's called Bridget, and it's just completed. And its full title is a pragmatic cluster randomized cohort crossover study. But essentially, there are just under 640 women in the study. Again, pharmacies throughout the UK have been randomized to standard care or intervention, and the pharmacies deliver both, and the order in which they deliver standard care or intervention is randomized. And women attending the pharmacies all received emergency contraception with levonorgestrel. As before, the standard care is regular advice about where to get your ongoing contraception. But this time, the intervention is a combination intervention. It's 3 months of a progesterone-only pill, so longer temporary effective contraception, plus a rapid access card to Sexual and Reproductive Health Centre, where if they present it, they'll be seen as a walk-in that day and get ongoing contraception. So this combines the temporary contraception, slightly longer, with facilitating access to a specialist service where they can get all methods of contraception, including facilitating access to the LARC methods, such as the implant and intrauterine contraception. The outcome of this study is effective contraceptive use at 4 months, and there is an exploratory primary outcome, which is abortion rates at 12 months. So the good news is that the study's finished recruitment. The bad news today is that it's just database lock, and so I don't have the results yet, but please keep a lookout because the results of this study will be coming out next year, and hopefully it will tell us whether this intervention, providing a bridging method of contraception, the progesterone-only pill from the pharmacy with rapid access, is an effective strategy to increase uptake of effective contraception after EC, and eventually we'll find out whether it does. If so, does it prevent unintended pregnancies? But there's other methods of contraception that the pharmacist could provide. And one method that we've been interested in has been whether the pharmacist could provide the progesterone-only injectable. And that's really because some years ago we surveyed women attending our sexual and reproductive health services, and to our surprise, 1 in 3 said that they would consider using the injectable if they could get it from a community pharmacy. And this included never users of the injectable, and ex-users and current users. And their main reason was really because of access to pharmacies, better opening hours, weekends, and convenience. So we decided we would conduct a pilot study where 50 women who were current users of the intramuscular version of the progesterone-only injectable Depo-Provera switched over to the subcutaneous preparation, as shown in this photograph, Cyanopress. They got their first injection in our sexual and reproductive health clinic, and then they got a card which permitted them to attend participating pharmacies over the course of the year to get their subsequent repeat injections. It was a troubled study, I have to say, from the beginning, because not long after recruitment started, there was global unavailability of Cyanopress, which dramatically affected recruitment and continuation rates, such that only about a third of women actually received their injections from the pharmacy. And I should say that these were women who did not want to self-administer because we have licensed, it's licensed in the UK for self-administration. I should also say the findings were really quite mixed. So women reported mixed experiences. Some women really appreciated the opportunity to go to their local community pharmacy and get their repeat injection, but others didn't. The pharmacists overall were really enthusiastic about this, and they were keen to continue this. But the availability of pharmacists to provide the injections was a big issue. So there were real problems when the pharmacist was on the lunch break, when the pharmacist was on holiday or sick leave, there was no one to cover. And so we concluded at the end of this study that, yes, it was feasible for the pharmacists to be trained and deliver the repeat injections of the injectable, but only if there were there was a sufficiently large pool of pharmacists really to make this sustainable. There's much interest here, I know, in Australia and New Zealand, also much interest in the UK about pharmacy provision of other methods of contraception. And we've recently published findings from actually a meeting not dissimilar to this one, delegates at a Faculty of Sexual and Reproductive Health meeting, where the delegates were asked how they felt about pharmacists providing more methods of contraception. And in particular, they were asked whether for the hormonal methods, the progesterone-only pill and the combined oral contraceptive pill, how they felt about pharmacists providing them as a pharmacy medicine or as general sale. So a pharmacy medicine behind the counter, essentially, so the woman doesn't need a prescription, but there has to be a discussion with the pharmacist, and general sale over the counter, so like buying your paracetamol, I guess, at a retail outlet. And overall, the delegates, sexual and reproductive health providers, were positive and were in favour of pharmacists being able to provide the progesterone-only pill. But more were in favour of them providing it as a pharmacy medicine rather than general sale, and there was less support for pharmacists providing the combined oral contraceptive pill. Should pharmacists be able to provide the injectable or the implant? Was another question they were asked. And whilst two-thirds were supportive of pharmacists being trained to provide the injectable, a similar proportion were not in favour of pharmacists being able to provide the implant. And some of the comments for why this would be was that they were concerned, delegates were concerned about the competency of pharmacists, their capacity to be able to offer these services within a busy commercial setting, and the degree of training and support that might be required. So watch this space, let's see what happens. The third model that I think merits consideration is abortion care from a community setting. And this was a model that we were interested in some years ago, because in Scotland, all of our abortion services at the time were based in NHS hospitals, departments of obstetrics and gynaecology. So we were keen to shift abortion care to a community setting, such as the Chalmers Centre, for a number of reasons. One, there was no reason why it couldn't be, and increasing proportions of women are choosing the medical method, which women give to themselves at home. This was something that women, we felt, would improve access for women. And also, we felt that if it was delivered from a centre of contraceptive expertise, we might be able to improve post-abortion contraception care for women. And we know that women seeking abortion, most of them have been using a method of contraception at the time they have conceived, just that it's been a method of low effectiveness or has been used inconsistently. And we also know that after an abortion, if women choose one of the most effective methods of contraception, such as the implant or the intrauterine method, they have a significantly reduced risk of another unintended pregnancy and another abortion in the next 2 years. And we know that in the departments of obstetrics and gynaecology, the abortion services were often delivered by junior medical staff with very limited contraceptive expertise. So we hypothesised that if the abortion care could be delivered in a centre of contraceptive expertise, we might observe better uptake of effective methods of contraception and perhaps fewer unintended pregnancies for women. So we did this. We shifted half of our abortion service from the hospital department of obstetrics and gynaecology to the Chalmers Centre. And we undertook a comparison between the two services in terms of the clinical outcomes and uptake of contraception for the women who were having early medical abortion care at home, but for whom the assessment and the provision of medication had been either the hospital or the community SRH setting. It was no surprise that we saw the same high safety of early medical abortion care and the same clinical outcomes, regardless of whether it was delivered. And it was not surprising we saw the same high satisfaction of care. But what we did see, which is what we had predicted, was a doubling of the uptake of LARC from the sexual and reproductive health setting. So this does suggest higher uptake of LARC, perhaps fewer unintended pregnancies for women in the next few years. And as a result of this, we shifted almost all of our abortion service to the sexual and reproductive health setting, and other services around the country followed suit. But we know that even in our own setting, and even within our community setting, that women want to receive abortion care from a range of providers, including the GP, midwife and nurse. And Deborah Bateson and colleagues have found that in their review of the literature, that women want choice and greater models of delivery of abortion care. And one that's of particular interest at the moment is, of course, telemedicine provision of early medical abortion care. We're all familiar with internet provision of early medical abortion care from organisations such as Women on Web, who have for over a decade now been delivering early medical abortion medication to women in restricted settings following an online consultation and assessment of suitability and posting the drugs. Margaret Endler and colleagues have recently conducted a systematic review of the literature of the studies of telemedicine for early medical abortion care from restricted settings, but also from legal settings. And there's three studies from legal settings here in Australia, Canada, and USA. And generally, the findings are consistent across the settings that it's safe, it's effective, and it's generally liked by women and providers. Clinical outcomes are similar to what is reported in the literature from an in-person visit. Surgical evacuation rates, though, are much higher in the restricted settings. Increasingly, this data being generated, there's greater attention being given as to whether telemedicine could be a model in the future that could be used more frequently for providing medical abortion care in these legal settings. So in summary, if we really want to increase equity and access to contraception and abortion care, we need to be considering other service delivery models and increasing the range of providers, obstetricians, gynecologists, GPs, sexual and reproductive health clinicians, midwives, nurses, pharmacists, and thinking about early medical abortion care and telemedicine, the role of women themselves. And if we do this, we hope that we'll see greater uptake in the most effective methods of contraception, fewer unintended pregnancies, shorter interpregnancy intervals, and with better access to abortion care, abortion at earlier gestations, and overall better outcomes for women and babies. Thank you.